Before we open God's word, let's pray for his leading. O Lord, as we turn to your word, give us understanding, so we might keep your law and obey it with all our hearts. Give us delight in the path of your commands, and turn our eyes and our ears to your word, that our lives might be kept in your righteousness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning, as we continue with those, is Psalm 92. And it's my joy to bring God's word this morning as part of our Psalm Festival. Psalm 92 is on the screen if you'd like to follow along. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." This is the word of the Lord. Dear people of God, last week I asked some of the children at church to tell me just one of the healthy habits that you've been training them in. And you might be able to predict some of their answers. This is what I heard. Eat vegetables. Wash your hands. Tidy your bedroom. Brush your teeth. And listen. These are good things to do, no matter our age. These kind of habits should lead us to a good life, the life of health and wholeness. But the writer of Psalm 92 brings to our attention one more good thing that's probably not on everyone's checklist. It is good to praise the Lord. That's how this jubilant song begins. It's a call to the good life focused on praising the Lord. I'm going to ask you to say it with me as a refrain throughout the message, and I'll signal you whenever I hold up this tambourine. So we'll see how that goes. It says in the notes after the title of Psalm 92 that it was designated as a song for the Sabbath, the Jewish day of rest and worship. After the exile, in the rebuilt temple, the Levites sang this song during the morning and evening sacrifice every Saturday. Once a week, this psalm called the people to the good life, a life with God at the center. Now, whenever we use the word, we hear the word good in scripture, it's meant to take us back to the beginning, when God created the world. At the end of each day of creation, God saw that it was good. The word good, or tov, in Hebrew, includes the concepts of being right, pleasing, and beautiful. It is right to praise the Lord. It is pleasing to praise the Lord with our voices in any language, as my grandfathers did. Both of them loved to sing in church, and one of them sang in the Hosanna choir in the village of Maasland, the Netherlands. They both knew by heart the words of psalms and hymns they'd learned in childhood, and they knew them even after they forgot everyday events. It's no surprise, then, that their funeral services, 11 years and an ocean apart, both featured this opening verse from Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord. And as they said it in Dutch, het is goed de Heere te loven. It is beautiful to praise the Lord with musical instruments too. Harps and lyres are mentioned in the psalm, but whatever's at hand in today's world can be directed to praise. Organ, piano, guitar, drums, and even when we clap along with the music. The psalm writer ties together praise and proclaiming, and his jubilance is contagious. When shall we praise? Well, today, right now. We can begin first thing in the morning and carry on until nightfall. The sunrise wakes us up to praise the Lord, and the sunset marks another time to proclaim God's love and faithfulness. The African Bible Commentary reminds us that songbirds set a wonderful example of praise. Through open windows, we hear their melodies at dawn. Robins. And cardinals. Chickadees and finches. Maybe some of us have also heard the dusk chorus of loons. Great horned owls and whippoorwills when camping in the summer or fall. It is good to praise the Lord. The psalm writer calls us to jubilant praise for good reason. No matter our circumstances, says the psalmist, the Lord is loving, wise, and exalted forever. It is good to praise the Lord. In Eastertide, we notice that Jesus embodies each of these divine qualities as well. Loving. We are used to hearing about the love of God. And when we hear and when we read here, to proclaim your love, chesed, in the morning and your faithfulness at night, we may gloss over it. The Bible Project video explains that the Hebrew word chesed is hard to translate into any language because it combines the ideas of love, generosity, and enduring commitment all into one. Chesed describes an act of promise-keeping loyalty that is motivated by deep personal care. The loving kindness of our Lord is first spoken of in the stories of Moses and Miriam and Aaron. The Lord rescued his people from Egypt, where they were treated badly by cruel bosses. In a similar way, the Lord lovingly sent Jesus to rescue us from our slavery to sin and selfishness. It is good to praise the Lord. And in French, c'est beau de louer l'éternel. Wise. The psalmist says, I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. The way God planned out every detail of creation so that every living thing has a habitat and a food supply shows his perfect wisdom. From the tiny hummingbird nests made of dried grass and fluff to the ocean playground of the blue whale, God has fashioned a wonderful world. And that's not all. The Lord's wisdom has worked through a long line of broken people to bring about the birth and life of Jesus. exalted forever. The verse in the exact center of this psalm is its punchline. But you, O Lord, are forever exalted. These words come after some discussion about those who do evil and seem to be getting away with it. The psalm writer is certain that ultimately it is the Lord who is in the highest place. And our Lord's exaltation is not about ego. The fact that the Lord is exalted gives us confidence that things will be set right. The New Testament echoes this in Philippians 2. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This groaning creation can and will be good, pleasing, and beautiful once more, and ruled with justice because of Jesus our Lord, whose kingdom will never end. The writer of Psalm 92 wants to share some observations with us about the wicked and the righteous community. Just a quick note here to prevent any misunderstanding. Comparing evildoers and righteous people in this passage might sound like a formula of how to receive God's material blessings, but that is not what it's about. The psalm writer is talking about something much deeper, the way we thrive as a whole person and as a community when we center ourselves on God through praising him and following his ways. The psalm writer acknowledges that the enemies of God flourish like grass. Right after Easter this year, you might have noticed just how quickly the dull and dormant grass turned to a vibrant green after some heavy spring rains. In ancient Israel, too, the flourishing of grass was a special event. A rare rain or heavy dew would bring a sudden greening of grass and plant life. But it was always short-lived under the strong Palestinian sun. Don't be tricked, the writer says. Grass is overrated. The life cycle of the wicked of wicked ways may be showy, but it is inevitably short. Think back to Psalm 1 and its reference to chaff that the wind blows away. Those who love God, the writer points out, flourish and proclaim God's goodness on a scale that puts the grass in its place. In contrast, he mentions two huge trees, namely the date palm and the cedar of Lebanon. They are the images of flourishing we should consider. If you decided to measure the height of a tree once a week, you would not notice much difference at all. But each year, a tree grows a little taller and its trunk gets a little thicker. The palm tree described here is a giving tree. Each year, its blossoms produce sweet fruit that feeds people. A Palestinian company that sells medjool dates says on its website that a 7-year-old palm tree can produce 80 to 100 kilograms of fruit each year. That would be more than 160 containers of this size in 1 year. Enough for every household to take one home today. But we don't have that. And with care, date palms can live over 100 years. The cedar of Lebanon is not a fruit tree, but it's a true evergreen that grows in the mountains. These trees can live 1,000 years or longer, and their wood was used to build the temple in Solomon's day. The righteous, as represented by these two types of steady, tall, and long-lasting trees, are transplanted into the house of the Lord, where they are nourished by grace. It is good to praise the Lord. And as Gabriel taught me to say in Yoruba, Ohun re re ni latima fi opefun olua. What's one practical way you can center your life on the Lord? Find it in the book of Psalms. Consider making it a daily practice or habit to read one psalm. It can be out loud or silently, alone or with others, spoken or sung. Even psalms of lament usually contain an element of praise and thanks, recognizing God's eternal love and wisdom. If you read them one by one, you can praise the Lord using all 150 psalms in half a year, and then you can begin again. This pace is realistic, even if you miss a day or two, or if you have to spread Psalm 119 over a few days. And you've already made a start this morning. When we take in the panorama that the psalm writer sees, the work of God's hands and the way God's children still bear fruit in old age and stay fresh and green, we understand that the good life is centered on the Lord. We jubilantly praise him and eagerly proclaim his trustworthy and loving character to all who have ears to hear. The flourishing of those who praise the Lord will pass the blessing on to those around them. The children bring us their blessing each week, and the oldest seniors among us still contribute through their heartfelt singing, their wisdom, the clothing they knit, their testimonies, and their prayers. Every generation, from young to old, together, is a living witness of God's grace and blessing in this place and wherever we go from here. It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to God Most High. And all God's people say, Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, we proclaim that you are upright. You are our rock, and there is no wickedness in you. In a world of distractions, you alone are worthy of our devotion. Help us day by day to honor you with our voices and our lives. Please use us to bless our neighbors nearby and far away. In Jesus' name, amen.